Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Kuf Chof Dalet, and we are holding at the bottom of Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Beit, and we are right in the middle of the story of the way in which Muktzah developed. And we spoke yesterday about the amazing connection of Muktzah to Hotzah Bichlal. We're going to see more about it today. And about how initially the entire takana came because essentially the lashon of the pasuk is that they were mevi'im b'shabbat mevi'im aremot v'omsim al hachamorim, and they would put everything in the back of their trucks v'chol masa, anything they could carry, mevi'im Yerushalayim b'yom haShabbat. And this is the response of Nehemiah, and that was the first gezeirah that we had of Muktzah. And then we spoke about four stages in this gezeira subsequently, and we had this machlokas about what the four stages were, big machlokas between Rava and Abaye, as to whether in the end we're left with an iser of carrying mechama letzel, and on a davar, according to Abaye, even on something which is letzorech, which is a davar shemalach to laheter, and various ways of understanding Rabbi Nehemiah, all of which we will go into a little bit more again later today when we talk about the implications of the machlokas for understanding these mishnayos. So what makes it very interesting is that we're together here on we're four lines up from the bottom, and Rabbi Lazar says, look, we've got these mishnayot, which don't really make sense in terms of our own current understanding of Muktzah, and these are actually leftover Mishnayot from the early days of Muktzah and the different stages of the early days, and they're not all the same. And those are the Mishnayos that refer to Kanin of the Lechem HaPanim and the Maklot. We're going to be talking about the Korban Pesach, the Glustra, which we'll talk about a doorstop, and the Meducha that we spoke about earlier. All of those Mishnayos are actual residual Mishnayos, and they were talked about Kodem Hatarat Kelim Nishnu. Now, let me go over with you what I'm referring to. What are these four Mishnayot that are historical but are no longer Nogea? So I say, the first thing is, Maklot Dakin Chalakim Hayusham. Sorry, I skipped. The Tanam. What's the first one? Kanim. The Tanam. Lo sidura kanim velo netilatan docheret haShabbat. Now remember that the lechem aponim was set up in such a way that the various lechem, the six on one side of the shulchan and six on the other side of the shulchan, should not be lying one on the other. And this was in order to prevent any type of spoilage. Now, obviously, it wasn't really a chashash of spoilage, because as we know, the lechem was miraculously kept warm all through the week, and it was just as fresh when they came the next Shabbos to take it up. However, ein somchim al hanes, and because of that, we went out of our way to make sure that not the slightest thing could happen to it. And this was, of course, the way that the shulchan was initially made. So it was made in such a way that you would be able to slip in between the various lechem and support with the sides that were coming up on the sides of the shulchan. And this is all part of the design that we learn about lechatchila in Sefer Shemot. And there were these straws, but they were cut into halves, so they're lengthwise. So they were like long tubes, and they allowed for the circulation of air. They would be put between the lechems, and they would allow the lechem to be lifted slightly off the lechem under it. And even the area that was being supported was also had flow of air through the cut-open tubes. So here it says you're not allowed to take those tubes out on Shabbos in order to remove the lechem the next day. So what they used to do is they would go in on Erev Shabbat to take them out, and there leave the lechem lying one on the other directly just until the morning. And then when they put in the new lechem until after Shabbos, they would actually not put in the kanim again, and they would leave the lechem temporarily one on top of the other. Now, why in the world would that be? Because it was an early stage of Kalim. Because obviously these things are Kalim, which are Malachtam Leheter. So why was it also to move them? We'll discuss all of this. The next Mishnah was, Maklot. Maklot, it's not Maklot, Takin, Chalakim, Ayusha. In the Azora, they have these long poles, thin poles. And on Erev Pesach, where there's so many people that were bringing a Korban Pesach, he would, one guy would put it on his shoulder, and he would ask his friend to hold the other pole, the side of the pole on his shoulder. And then they would take the sheep, that was their Korban Pesach after Shvita, and they would be tela umafshit, they would be able to skin it by holding it in between them. So over here we find that Omer Rebbe Elazar Arba'asar Shechaliyot B'Shabbat, if, however, Erev Pesach was a Shabbos, they didn't use these poles. And instead, Miniach Yado Al Ketev Chaviro, V'Yad Chaviro Ketefo, V'Toleh Mavshit. So instead of using a pole, each guy would put a hand on the other guy's shoulder, and that allowed them between their two hands to put the Korban Pesach across, and then they would be able to do the Hefshet. What's the Mishnah of Glustra? Ditna. Neger sheyesh b'rosho Glustra. And remember, we talked about this earlier, and we've had it a few times, actually, in Daf Yomi. And we're talking about this knob that was used to keep a door locked. So what they would do is, we still use this kind of thing. We've got this little latch kind of thing on doors that open up, and they latch down in order to prevent the doors from opening or prevent them from slamming shut. And in those days, they had a slightly larger one that had a knob. Some of them had a knob on top. Now, to make it easier to push up and down, you could take them in and out. They weren't permanently on the door. So since this knob on the end basically is usable, if you turn it upside down, use it as a pestle, which is good for chopping various garlic and things like that that we spoke about earlier. So the question is, can I move it on Shabbos? So Rabbi Yoshua says, well, you could be shomtam in petach zevet olah b'chaveiro b'shabbat. You're allowed to move it, but you can only move it by sort of dragging it. You can't actually lift it up, because what they used to do, they used to connect it with a cord, hanging it on the door. So you can, like, drag it with the cord, which is tiltol min hatzad. And even though, obviously, this is a klisha block to lay out there, because all it's doing is keeping a door open, and it was made for that purpose, and nonetheless, you see that you have to move it in this strange way, min hatzad. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, why is it different than anything that you're allowed to move, like, I don't know, plates? Because plates you could move, as we said yesterday. Remember, the Satosis explained it, because there never was a gezeira against things that were holders. There were only things that were tools. So Rabbi Tarfon says it's the same thing as kalim that you have on your table for your soup, and you could move that normally in your chatzar. And the fourth mishnah that we're talking about is midocha. And the midocha was the one that we said before, where we said only if it has chopped garlic in it are you allowed to move it on Shabbos. So that's also, all of these are mishnayos that are historical mishnayos, but they're no longer actual meaningful mishnayos. Omar Rabba, how do you know that? I mean, I'm assuming that you take this, right, as being all kalim shemalachta laheter, and therefore any type of restrictions that we have over here must have been on that earlier stage where we even assered moving kelim shemalach to laheter, even for their own purposes, legufa. But, says Rabbah, I'm not sure that that's true. Mimai, I mean, I can explain all of these cases otherwise. Maybe, the olam emelcha le'achar hatarat kelim shanu, maybe the mishnayot are all actually recent mishnayos. What would be the reason for not putting in the kanim onto the shulchan? Because remember the whole point that we need the kanim. Why do we need kanim at all? Mishumi apushe. Because we're worried about the bread going stale, right? And well, you don't really have to worry about bread going stale just between Erev Shabbos and Shabbos in the morning. So, b'hai purta lo miapish. And therefore, it's not necessary. Now, this brings out another very important halacha. And that is that even after we have all of the heterim of mukta that we discussed, there's still a halacha not to move a kli for no purpose. So there's no such thing as a casual moving of a kli, even bizman hazeh, even after all of the heterim, there's a sensitivity to movement. And that sensitivity remains. And what's pretty amazing is that they even were gozer this in the Beis HaMikdash itself, which is usually Ein Shvut B'Mikdash, as Tosis points out. But we do find that certain universal gezerot that are meant to make an impact on people, they were actually gozer in the Mikdash. And therefore, it could be, says Rabbah, that maybe the reason that we don't do this is because of the fact that it isn't necessary. And I could say the same thing about those poles for the Korban Pesach. There's obviously an alternative. The alternative is to do it the way Rabbi Elazar said to do it, which is to put your hand on the other guy's shoulder, and he puts it on your shoulder. It makes a tremendous impact. It means that you're not moving something unless it's really necessary to move it. And as far as the Gloustra is concerned, that's also not a problem. I'll tell you why. Because we might be learning that Mishnah the way Rabbi Yannai learns it. Rabbi Yannai says that the whole case that we're talking about over here is in a chotzer she'enat mu'urevet. So we have over here the houses that are opened into the chotzer, and they've got this knob that's inside of the doorway, which is holding the doors shut, right? Okay, so now you want to take it out in the doorway, I understand, and you want to move it over to another door. Can you? Because here there's a different issue. If you don't have an Erev among the different homes, that means that each one of those doors is considered to be Midrabanan, a different Rishus HaYachid, right? So even though the din is that something that is found in the Chatzar itself, that can be moved anywhere in the Chatzar. If something is in the house, you can't bring it out to the Chatzar. You can't bring from the Chatzar into the house. And you can't bring from one Chatzar, one Bayit, through the chatzar into another bayit, obviously, even if it had been put into the chatzar. So maybe the point over there is that there's a question about whether the inside of the doorway is considered to be in the house or is it considered to be in the chatzar. Now, that would explain everything, because Rabbi Yoshua, he holds that the actual doorway is the same as being inside of the house, in which case, if you take that bolt with the knob on top, and you move it out of the doorway, and you bring it to another door, so then you're carrying something from the house into the chatzar, and you're not allowed to do that. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon holds, no, things that are in the doorway on the outside of the house are considered to be in the chatzar, and tocha petach is kelechutz, and therefore all you're doing is you're carrying something which belongs in the chatzar, and you're carrying it across the chatzar to a different part of the chatzar, because the next doorway is nothing but a different area of the chatzar, but there's no chiyuv of eruv over there. So because of that, it has to be done if you hold that it was Osra, Lib the Rabbi Yoshua. It's not because of Muktzah. It would be because of the issue of Hotzah, which they didn't Asr Kela Achri Yad. Midocha, and the last case, that was actually a Braita, not a Mishnah, but that was the case of the garlic mortar. That was could be, like we said before, that might be going like Rabbi Nechemia. And we said that according to Rabbi Nechemia, it makes a great deal of sense, because Rabbi Nechemia says you're not allowed to move anything. Even if it's a klisha malakta laheter, you're not allowed to move for any tzorach that isn't its fundamental purpose in coming into being. So, I mean, it turns out we've got lots of different ways from the beginning of the sugya yesterday of the din of the medocha, because we could go all the way from understanding the medocha as having been the way that was suggested here by Rabbi Elazar, as having been a leftover from the time of Nechemia, or from one of those stages before we were matir, all of the different tremendously choshevah inyanim of Muktzah that we no longer have, or it could be a going on Liban Rabbi Nechemia, or it could be talking about Mechama Letzel, or it could be talking about, according to Abaye, even Letzorach Mekomo. So basically, we've got all of these different approaches, and it ends up not being able to prove anything to us because of the possibilities here. And so Sir Richard will now introduce the next Mishnah. Da da da. Thank you. Kol ha-kelim, nitalim litzorech, vishalo litzorech. You're allowed to move anything at all. Whoa. That's not quite clear what it's referring to. Whether you need it or you don't need it, what does that mean? No need whatsoever? Or obviously, this is going to involve us in the way that we've understood the Inyanim of Muktzah until now. And it's here that we meet Rabbi Nechemiah in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemiah says, nope, can't move anything. Can only move things that are litzorech, okay? So can we please understand what this is referring to? When you talk about litzorech, you talk about shelo litzorech. Okay, what do you mean? I'm a rabbi. Well, litzorech means litzorech gufo, and it's referring to a kli shemalachta laheter. So you're allowed to move it litzorech gufo, obviously, because its gufo is, its point is heter. And shelo litzorech, that's talking about that you can move a dover shemalachta laheter, even not for using it, but for needing its place. So that's called litzorech makoma. But adover shemalachto la'iser, the implication would be that litzorech gufo you would be allowed to move it for, and litzorech makomo you would not be allowed to use it for, and that would mean that Rabbi Nechemiah was coming along to say that I disagree, and I say even adover shemalachto la'heter can only be moved for tzorech gufo, but cannot be moved litzorech makomo. Aha. So in other words, Rabbah considers that the very fact that I don't need the thing for use as a tool is called shelo litzorech, even though I certainly need to move it, but I can't move it litzorech mekomo alone, at least not if it's a kli shemalachto la'iser. Okay, now this is very consistent because this basically was the machlokas that we had before on Kuf Beis, right? So over there, the question, remember, it all started with what kind of hammer can you use for nuts? All right, so he holds that you're allowed to use it, but you can use any kind of hammer, but only litzorech gufo. Okay, so this works out very well. And this basically Abaya also said, you can use it, but not litzorech makoma. Okay, and that explains Rabbi Nechemiah then in a more limited sense, because he's talking about only not moving a kli shemalachto laheter, litzorech makoma. Whereas Rava says, I don't understand how you can use the word shelo litzorech as something that needs to be moved because it's on the table and you have to use the table. Why is that shelo litzorech? I mean, I think it's a prejudice that says that litzorech means in your mind automatically for the purposes of its tool use. It just says litzorech, well, you need it to be moved. You need it to be moved. Now, do you need it to be moved or not? Yes. You have a hammer sitting on your table. You're not going to be able to serve your meal. You need to move it. Why isn't that litzorech? So I disagree with you. Litzorech mekomo, you're calling that shelo litzorech? And this, of course, is the way Rava explained it earlier when he was arguing with Abaye. And Rava said there, and he repeats it again, when you say litzorech, there's no difference between needing something, litzorech gufo or litzorech mekomo. That is litzorech. So if you're talking about a dover shemalachta laheter, then bein litzorech gufo, bein litzorech mekomo, that's a given. Shelo litzorech, you can even move it for no need of your own, but for its own need. Meaning, if it might be stolen, if it might be in the rain, if it might get overheated, and if it might fade from the sun, whatever. That's not your use. That's the need of the kli's own use. And that was called, as you recall, mechama letzel. So mechama letzel would be a problem. And that is only a problem, however, in a kli shemalachta le'iser. But a kli shemalachta le'heter can be moved even shelo letzorech, which is what Rava said before. On the other hand, something which is malachta le'iser, you can move letzorech only. What's letzorech according to me? Well, litzorech means whether it's litzorech gufo or whether it's litzorech mekomo, I'm insisting that that's the definition of litzorech, okay? So that you can actually move. But the only thing you can't do is shelo litzorech. How did I define shelo litzorech? As something that you don't need as a tool or as a place, but the kli itself needs. So therefore, you can only move it litzorech gufo, litzorech mekomo. You cannot move it mechama litzel. Now, Rabbi Nechemiah argues, comes along Rabbi Nechemiah to say that even a dover that is malachto leheter, you can move only litzorech gufo and litzorech mekomo, but you cannot move it mechama litzel. And of course, in this case, the definition of Letzorach Gufo is limited, although that isn't being brought out here. But according to Rabbi Nechemia, it's a more limited definition than Letzorach Gufo was according to the Tanakhama, because according to the Tanakhama, any type of tool use would be fine. But according to Rabbi Nechemia, it has to be the specific use for which it was initially designed. Now, Rav Safran, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina were sitting around, and they suggested between themselves, learning, that according to Rabba, the way Rabba is now understanding Rabbi Nechemia, that even something which is Litzorech, which is a klisha malach to laheter, right? But he learns that a moving something off of the table is considered to be a shalol Litzorech, which means that you can't move it. I don't quite understand that. That would mean, according to Rabbi Nechemia, the way he is defining Rabbi Nechemia, if you sit down on the table on Shabbos, yeah, and you finish your meal, how are you allowed to clear the table? What are you doing? You're only clearing the table not because you need the dishes in the sink. You're clearing the table because you need the table to be cleaned off of the dishes. But according to Rabbi Nechemia, you're not allowed to move things just because you need the table. So what is, according to Rabbi Nechemia, what would that mean? That once I eat on Shabbos my first meal, I have to move to a different table? And that's outrageous. So Hani Ka'aro, take him a tatalina and explain to me how we're taking off things from the table. Amar Lu Rav Safra, you know, you're absolutely right. You would not be allowed to move them off the table. The only reason you can move them off of the table is because of that blanket special heter that we said was an inyan of kovod, and that the chachomim were never gozer on a gerev shel re'i, so they considered this to be the equivalent of a chamber pot. I mean, it wants to have filthy dishes with smelly chalent or whatever is you got on it. That's disgusting. So because of that, you're allowed to move it. But ein hachinami, in terms of the normal dinim of muktzah, you would not be allowed to move it. As a matter of fact, Abaye pointed out to Rabba the same point and said to him, excuse me, Rebbe, but Lamar, Alibet Rebbe Nechemia, how are you allowing Alibet Rebbe Nechemia to move things off of the dishes? And Rabba said, well, you should have heard Rav Safra, our dear friend, he already explained this, and you should know that. It's mitid ahave agarav shel re'i. Okay, so now Abaye asks on Rava, not on Rabba, from the din of medocha. So it says over there, only if there's some crushed garlic in it, you're allowed to be metaltalit, and if not, vimlav ein metaltalim ota. Can you explain to me why it is that according to you, I mean, I understand, according to Rabbi, this makes a great deal of sense. Rabbi explained it before, because it's referring to a case where I don't need it for its own use. I only need it Letzorach Mekomo, and according to Rabba, Tzorach Mekomo is not called Letzorach. But according to you, even Tzorach Mekomo is a Tzorach. Why in the world can I not move the Medocha? Now, we already know there's a number of different approaches to this, which we've taken earlier. One of them is that it's going Alib and Rebbe Nechemia. One of them is that it's a Brisa that is an old Brisa from the time of Nechemia, and it was still part of the original Gezerah. So it isn't really much of a question. He just wants to see what approach Rav is going to take on it. And Rav's approach is the way he said earlier. Look, you don't have to do anything really dramatic to answer this, because maybe all it means is that you would not be allowed to move it Litzorach Atzma. So you can't move it because of Chamal Etzel. That's the point. Okay, Etve. So Abaye asks Rav another right. Remember that we had before, we're going to go through all of the issues that we brought earlier. So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agreed that if you chopped meat on this pesel, on Yontif, that then after you finish chopping the meat, you're not allowed to move it and put it back in its place. Okay, so according to Rabbah, that's because you're not allowed to move a pesel, which is a usher thing. And you can only use it, maybe, according to Beit Hillel, to chop the meat on. But then you can't put it back, because then it's considered to be Shalol Litzorech, and it's Litzorech Mekomo. But you hold Litzorech Mekomo is considered to be Litzorech. What in the world is the reason for not allowing me to move it back? No, says Rav, the same thing. It doesn't mean you can't move it back into the cabinet. It means that if the reason that you want to move it back is because currently it's being exposed to water and it's going to get rusty, whatever, then it's referring to that. You can't move it for that. It's referring to Mechamel Etzel. Okay, says the Gemara, what about the Mishnah that we have in Beitza, which doesn't go according to anybody? It doesn't go according to the way Rav is learning, because it doesn't go according to the way Rav is learning. It makes absolutely no sense. It says over there that you can't take a piece of wood on Shabbos and use it to support a pot that's falling off of the plata or whatever, and you can't use it to keep a door open, to put it there for the door, to support the door. Now, this makes absolutely no sense. I mean, a bakat means a piece of wood. A piece of wood on Yontav is certainly something that I have very good purpose for, namely to stick into my fireplace. Remember, on Yontav, I'm allowed to cook, right? So it certainly isn't muktzah. And so a bakat on Yontav is definitely a dovash malachta laheter. And what I want to use it for is l'tzorach gufa, right? And you're telling me I can't even use it l'tzorach gufa. So alma dovash malachta laheter, Bein Letzorach Gufo, Bein Letzorach Mekomo is usher. Nobody held that, except Rabbi Nechemiah. I mean, obviously you could say it's going on Liban Rabbi Nechemiah, but I mean, this is Stam Mishnah. A little bit difficult to believe that a Stam Mishnah was stated here on Liban Rabbi Nechemiah. So how do you explain the Mishnah in Beitza? Says the Gemara, the issue over there is a completely different idea. Because, I mean, why are we talking about on Yontev something that is completely mutter? I'll tell you what the point is. The point is that people can easily get confused. Is there a din of muktza on Yontav? Oh, yes, absolutely. Is there a difference in what would be muktza? Yes. But is it obvious to somebody that because a guy on Yontav could take just a junk piece of wood and he can use it to prop open his door, so then when it comes Shabbos and the guy's going to say, oh, well, they propped open the door on Monday when it was Shavuos, so I'm assuming I could prop open the door today. So in order to avoid that kind of thing, where something has the same dinim of muktza, but it just has a different type of din lagabi itself as a kli, it happens to be that on Yontev, a piece of wood is firewood, and on Shabbos, a piece of wood is junk and useless. So because of that, it's a gezeira Yontov atu Shabbat. Now, you're going to ask me, oh, okay, fine. So let's say we make a gezeira Yontav atu Shabbat. But even on Shabbos, it should be mutter. Because it's the most, what are you going to tell me, that the piece of wood, I mean, it's not like a rock. It's something that's malach to le'isr, because it's used in the fireplace. I mean, I'm obviously not throwing it out. It's sitting here piled up for used in my oven. But that's a malach to le'isr, okay? But if I need to use it, letzorach gufo, you said I'm allowed to use it, klishim malach to le'isr, I'm allowed to use it for tzorach gufo, letzorach mekomo, it's mutter. So then why would it not be mutter even on Shabbos? What do you mean it's gzeir yontav atu Shabbos? Ah, that I can explain away. Because I could say, it's true, but you remember you're getting confused with the concept of kli and non-kli. If something is a tool, is a piece of wood a tool? No. So you're saying it's usable, so it's not a rock. Uh-huh. But if it's not usable, it is a rock. It's not just a kli shemalach to liyisr. It's just simply a piece of garbage. And therefore, if it's hanimileach the ikater as kli alav, don't get confused that the idea of kli shemalach to liyisr, that is mutter letzorach gufo letzorach mekomo, means anything which is set aside for Isser. No, it's dafka a kli. If it's less than a kli, then it becomes usser the way it would be usser machmas gufo, because of what it is. So therefore, hecha the leket torat kli alav, if it's not a kli, so then you can't move it at all. Not even letzorach gufo. On Yontif, it's not muks at all, because over there, in fact, it's meant to be used. Okay, so then you can use it for other things. Now, one second. I let slip by your comment that we're going to make a gzeira on Yontav otu Shabbos. Is that true? Mi gazrina, there's really such a thing as making a gzeira asering Yontav because the same thing would be aser on Shabbat? And what about the Mishnah about if a guy has a lot of peirot up on the roof and they had been there and they were put there to dry out on the roof, and now he sees, oh my God, there's a big rainstorm coming, everything's going to get wrecked. If he has got a skylight on the roof, he's allowed to just brush everything down into the house. So, Mishilin Perot Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov, Avol Lo B'Shabbat. Now, how do you explain the fact that something that's Osr on Shabbat suddenly becomes Mutr on Yontev if you said we're going to be Gozer? Okay, you're asking this on me. How am I going to ask on you? Okay, Milo Gazrinan. You're telling me that you refuse to recognize that we will make gezeiras of Yontav Atar Shabbos, and what about the other Mishnah in Beitzah? Ein ben Yom Tov leShabbat ela ochel nefesh bilvat. Famous Mishnah. The difference is the things that you're allowed to eat or you're not allowed to eat, which means that anything else, anything that isn't directly nogea preparing food, ochel nefesh, is usher. Okay, now, so how do you explain it? Go ahead. You explain the Meshilin then. So why aren't we asering an Ayantav? You said, ain't bain. Make up your mind. Amrev Yosef Lokasha. You're right. But there's two different shitas. One is going Aleba the Rebbe Eliezer. One is going Aleba the Rebbe Yeshua. Remember that we had that famous Maisa before where we had two animals that fell into a pit. And the question was, one of them is the mother and one of them is the child. Is there any way for me to get them out of that pit? So remember that we had before Otoved Beno Shenafu Labor Rebbe Eliezer Omer Maaleh Harishon Amanat Shochato VeShochato, that you can bring up the first one and then you can shecht it. But that's all you can do. The other one you've got to leave down there. You can lower food if you want. B'shvil Shelo Yamut. Rebbe Yoshua on the other hand says no. You pretend that you want to shecht it. Okay, then you bring it up. You say I don't know. I think maybe the other one is better. So then you're marim. And you bring up the other one, Ma'alat Hasheni, and then you decide, whichever one you want. But meanwhile, that means that Rabbi Yoshua is matir. In order for you not to have a loss of money, he's matir you, and he's makil on Yontif. So it could be the same thing over here. Since your stuff up on the roof is going to get ruined if it gets rained on, so because of that, it would be going on Libet Rabbi Yoshua. And he's being matirid because of the same din that he's matir here. Mashenken Reb Eliezer, who doesn't care about your laws, he wouldn't allow it over there. Says, wait a minute, it's not the same at all. Remember, as we said earlier, these cases are very unique. You need to take care of the food on your roof, because what else is going to happen? I mean, there's nothing to do. Mashenken over here, you don't need to bring up that other animal if you're able to lower food and water and make it happy. But in this case, or you could say the opposite. You could say, even in this case, because remember, the only way Rabbi Yeshua allowed you to do something is by pretense, subterfuge. So you're pretending that you need one, and then you decide you don't need it. Okay, fine. But there's no way to utilize here subterfuge. What are you going to claim that's going to allow you the Meshilin? So maybe in that case, Rabbi Yeshua asers. I don't see that you can use the answer that there's a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua in this case. Ela Amar of Papa, you're 100% right. That's not the answer. The difference is that the Mishnah that we quoted over here, that Ein Bein, and there's no difference between even Yisrei Derabbanan and Yontav and Shabbos, that's going Alibet Beit Shammai. Whereas the Mishnah that says Meshilin, even though it's Aser, is going on Shabbos, is going a Libet Beit Hillel. And I know that this is a machlokas also from Beitzah. The Tanan, because it says over there, Beit Shammai Omrim, that Ein Motziin et HaKatan, this is talking about now on Yontav itself, where if you don't hold of Hoyel, and that therefore there's a difference between things that are Letzorach Ochol Nefesh and Lo Letzorach Ochol Nefesh, you're not allowed to carry out a kid or a lulav or a sefer Torah and into Rosh Hashanah on Yontav, and Beis Hillel, of course, or Matirin. So the same thing is true over here. Beis Hillel would allow Meshilin, and Beit Shammai would not allow Meshilin. Excuse me, I don't understand. That's not the same. Beit Shammai was talking about Hotzah. And he's saying you're not allowed to carry from Shizayok to Shizarabim if it's not Litzorach Ochol Nefesh. What does that have to do with Meshilin? He never said anything about Meshilin. So, Tiltul Mi Shamatu, where did he say anywhere that Ein Bein is even Ogeh the Derabbanan? Says the Gemara, excuse me? And here is like the beautiful, clear as cut description in the Gemara of the relationship between Muktz and Tiltul. And you're telling me Tiltul Gufe Lab Mishum Hotzahi? Isn't that the whole point of muktzah? The whole point of muktzah is because it's seen as a subcategory of the central component of the Masechet, which is hotzah. Exactly. So don't ask me, well, you haven't proved it's true Lagabi Muktzah. If I could tell you he's makpid on Otzah, then I guarantee you he's going to be makpid on Muktzah. And the truth is that we don't have any kashas now. It seems that Rava, the general we paskin like, indeed was paskin like even by Rav, namely that it's considered to be letzerech, if it's tzerech mikomo, is just as much a tzerech as tzerech gufo, and af Rav, several ala the Rava, that there's no difference between tzerech on those two levels. The Omar Rav, moving a mar, shelo yiganev, a mar is a hoe or a rake, and to move it out of your yard in order that it shouldn't be stolen from you. That's mechamel itself. And that would be tilta shalol letzorach va'aser, but it's only because it's time of shalol yiganev. But if you needed it for any purpose, whether that purpose would be letzorach gufo or letzorach mekomo, it obviously would be mutter. Wait a second, is that true though? Wasn't there a maaser where Rav Kahana came to visit Rav on Shabbos, and Rav says to the people standing around, he says, do me a favor, bring over that trap for Kahana and let him sit on it. Now, why did he say, let him sit on it? I mean, obviously, because he's trying to say, and don't think I would move that trap for any other reason than to actually have him sit on it. But I would never have moved it just because I want him to sit where the trap is. That would be the, and I need to move the trap out. So maybe he's trying to tell me that Dovah Shemalach Tali Yisr is only Mutl Tzor Gufo and Tzor Mekomo. No, isn't that the whole point? I mean, Rav didn't say things for no reason. No. What Rav told him over there was, move the trap out of the way for Kahana, not for Kahana to sit on, or no, it's possible he did say the way you said it, but the thing is that the trap over there was sitting in the rain. And so because of that, it was Michamel itself. So Rav was afraid that if he said, bring the trap in, that people that were there would think, bring the trap in because it's in the rain. And then they would come to be Matir Michamel Etzel on a Klisha Malach Lo Yeser. And therefore, he said, to make it very clear, I'm not moving it because it's in the rain. I'm moving it because I need it for Rav Kahana to sit on. And there was another Maaser with Ramori Bar Rochel, where he had these pillows that were out in the sun, and they were getting bleached by the sun. So he comes into Rav, he says, am I allowed to bring it inside? So Rava said, yeah, of course. Why not? I mean, this is Rava Lashitasso, of course, who holds that it's mutter to move something. If it's a kli shemalachto leheter, which obviously a pillow is, you're allowed to even move it michamel itself. So Rav Mori Bar Rochel said to him, well, but I don't really need them because I have other pillows. So, I mean, like I'm moving them without any other tzorech except for them not to get faded. So Rava said, well, what's the difference if you need them? Aren't they roly if you get guests? So you'd be able to use them for your guests. I mean, what's your problem? I mean, not that I hold you need guests, you understand. I hold you're allowed to move become let's sell. But even if you don't hold to that, so move them for guests. Well, says Ramori, truth is I really have other pillows I could use for guests. So Rava said to him, okay, buddy, look, you've made it very clear that you don't hold of my psak, okay? So you hold like Rava, fine. So Galita Daiti the Karabas Viralach. Now I understand. So know what my psak is. For the rest of the world, they're allowed to bring in their pillows. Only you're not allowed to bring in your pillows, okay? So Ladidach Asr, fine. You want to go like Rabba? Be happy. Amar Baba, Amar Pchia Barashi, Amar Rab. Now we get into this other issue. Brooms. What are brooms? Are brooms considered to be mukta or not? Now, there's two types of brooms. There's brooms that can be used for brushing off a tabletop, but they're usually made out of cloth. And then there's brooms that have actual, you know, straw or branches on them. We used to make them out of tamar in those days. So they had the palm, after they took off the machbedot. And the question over here would revolve around the issue about whether you are allowed to sweep a floor. Now, remember we said earlier, you're not allowed to sweep a floor because a floor is going to be mashve gumot. So if you use a broom on it, if it's a dirt floor, then you might be over on binyan because in the house, shvaz gumais is considered to be binyan. And then we had the machlokas about, and what about if the floor is covered with tiles? And then furthermore, what about if all the floors in the city are covered in tiles? We had a discussion in Bechoza in which we were matter using it because it's a rich town and everybody's got tiled floor. Nobody has the floors that are made out of dirt. And so, okay, so that's really what it depends on. If you hold that in a place where the floors are generally tiled, there's no issue of using machbedot, so then a broom is not mukta. However, unfortunately, the Ramah paskins, if you happen to be an Ashkenazi and you're really in trouble, the Ramah paskins that we should be machmir even if the entire city is tiled, in which case brooms would actually be a klisha malachdali iser. Unless they're very, very soft brooms and they couldn't be gorim for Ashvuya Gumas. Now, a lot of people are making of this. In fact, the Bir Halacha says, you know, look, like, since there's so many issues over here, don't be moch on somebody's makel. But anyway, so what we paskin over here is that Rav said, if you have machbidot that are made out of cloth and they're soft, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. But if they're made out of branches of the Tamara, then not. And Rebbe Elazar says, no, you can even move that. So now, explain to me, what is the issue over here? We're talking about moving the broom for its own usage or because of Tzorach Mekomo. How could Rav have said that you're not allowed to move a broom that's made out of branches? I thought Rav holds of Rava. Didn't we say that he holds of Rava? That you are allowed to move even a Kli Shemalach? Even if he holds a Kli Shemalach, well, yes, sir, you'd be allowed to move it. It must be that we're talking about moving the broom out of the sun. That's Bechamel Atzel, or for its own need to be protected from the rain or from stealing or whatever. But if that's the case, would Rebbe Elazar say that you're allowed to move even Shel Tamara Bechamel Atzel? Because who holds that you're allowed to move Mechamel Atzel or Kli Shemalach Tali Yisr? You're right. The truth is, this is a wrong girsa. We are talking about Mechamel Atzel, and what it should say is, V'chein Amar Rebbe Elazar, that Rebbe Elazar agreed that you could only move these soft cloth brooms and not the hard branch brooms.